me he freely gave. Holy One made sin for sinners, by His death my soul is saved. He surrendered all, He surrendered all to be my blessed Savior. He surrendered all. Coming from His throne in heaven, Jesus laid His glory by. Thus this sinner is forgiven and shall soon be glorified. He surrendered all, He surrendered all to be my blessed Savior. He surrendered all. He to death Christ did surrender, even to death upon the cross, all to save the worst offender. Mine the gain, His all the loss. He surrendered all, He surrendered all to be my blessed Savior. He surrendered all. At the cross the Father's pleasure prospered well in Jesus' hands. Now He's honored without measure, so the Father's will demands. He surrendered all, He surrendered all to be my blessed Savior. He surrendered all, He surrendered all, He surrendered all to be my blessed Savior. He surrendered all.
We did esteem Him stricken, smitten of God, and afflicted. Stricken, smitten, and afflicted, see Him dying on the tree. 'Tis the Christ by man rejected, yes, my soul, 'tis He, 'tis He. 'Tis the long-expected prophet, David's son, yet David's Lord. By His Son God now has spoken, 'tis the true and faithful word. Tell me, ye who hear Him groaning, was there ever grief like His? Friends through fear His cause disowning, foes insulting His distress. Many hands were raised to wound him. None would interpose to save. But the deepest stroke that pierced him was the stroke that justice gave. Ye who think of sin but lightly, nor suppose the evil great, here may view its nature rightly, here its guilt may estimate. Mark the sacrifice appointed, see who bears the awful load. 'Tis the Word, the Lord's anointed, Son of Man and Son of God. Here we have a firm foundation, here the refuge of the lost. Christ the rock of our salvation, here's the name of which we boast. Lamb of God for sinners wounded, sacrificed to cancel guilt. None shall ever be confounded who on him their hope is built.
Open your Bible this evening to the book of Exodus, chapter 12. Exodus, chapter 12. The Lord told Moses and Aaron to call for the elders of Israel, call for the heads of the families, call for the dads to assemble. And Moses gave them some unusual instructions. They never heard anything like it before. He said, I want every one of you men to go out to your flock, pick you out a lamb. But not just any lamb. It must be a male of the first year, without any blemishes. Can't have any diseases. Can't be lame. Can't have any infirmities. Pick him out of your flock. You men have small families, you join your families together, but you still get a lamb, a male of the first year. And then Moses said, put him up from the 10th day of the month to the 14th. And I want you to look him over good. Make sure everything's all right with him. And on the 14th day, I want you to kill that lamb. And catch his blood in a basin. And then you go out and you get some little sprigs of hyssop. Jewish tradition said 3 sprigs. I don't know. That's just what I read. That's what they said. Sprigs of hyssop. You take that bowl of blood and you go outside your house. You dip that hyssop in that bowl of blood. And you swipe that side of the doorpost and that side of the doorpost and up on top. And then go back in and shut your door and roast that lamb and eat it with unleavened bread and bitter herbs. and get ready to go. Because God said, I'm coming through tonight. And when I see the blood, I'll pass over you. What is this all about? It sure is interesting and very peculiar. And I suspect that when those heads of families heard Moses give those instructions, they kind of went away and said, man, that he's told us a lot of things, but he's never said anything like that before. What's this all about? Is God just giving us some information about Jewish history so that we'd be better informed? So that we'd know a little bit more about those folks that then wound up wandering around in the wilderness. Is that what it's for? Well, you know better, but I'm going to show you. Just hold your place here. I'll get to this, but I just want to show you this in 1 Corinthians 5, just because there might be somebody here this evening who doesn't know this. And there might just be, and in fact there is some people here who know this but want to hear it again. 1 Corinthians chapter 5 and verse 7. And I'll just look at that last phrase. For even Christ, our Passover, is sacrificed for us. Now listen to me. Just as the head of every Jewish family sacrificed a lamb so that his family, the firstborn, of course, so that that one would be safe. Be safe. So death wouldn't enter into his family. God the Father, the eternal Jehovah, in infinite grace, sacrificed his lamb, the lamb he chose. A lamb without spot, without blemish or any such thing. A lamb worthy and fitting to satisfy God. And God Himself sacrificed him. Jesus Christ, the Son of God, was the sin offering, the sin bearer. And make no mistake, it's the Father who delivered him up. It's the Father who brought it to pass. The Father was behind it all. In Acts chapter 4, the Jews and the Gentiles and Pontius Pilate and Herod, they couldn't agree on anything else, but they did agree in hating Jesus of Nazareth. And they all gathered together. And the saints of God set forth to do whatsoever thy hand and thy counsel determined before to be done. God sacrificed his Son so that, listen to me, death will never enter his family. Ever. Ever. Can't happen. When that Israelite went outside and put the blood on the lintel, on the side pieces, and on the top, and went back inside and shut that door and roasted the Passover lamb and ate it, let me ask you, was there any possibility that when the destroyer went through that night, was there any possibility that the firstborn in that family could die. There was no it was impossible. How did they know that? They had nothing but the Word of God. That's all. When that father went out there and put that blood on the side post and over the doorpost, he did it for this reason. He believed God. Went back inside, shut the door, and in peace, and in joy, and in hope, ate the Passover supper. And though there were cries outside, the Scripture says that there were cries throughout Egypt. Those folks inside, believing God, had joy and hope and peace in belief. You see, my friend, this story has to do with the same subject as the rest of the Bible. I was asked shortly after I went to Almont to speak at a preacher's meeting of some men who profess to be sovereign grace preachers. And I went and spoke on Jesus Christ, the preacher's theme. And I preached what all these men preach, that Christ is throughout this book. When you open it, start looking for Him. It's a hymn book, isn't it? It's the hymn book. All about Christ. After the service was over, we had lunch. I shared this with somewhere I was preaching not too long ago, but I'll tell it again for you folks. We all went to lunch. And they had spaghetti, tossed salad, garlic bread, and coffee. And down at the end of the table, there was a basket that said $5. I'm so thankful you folks have fed us this week without charging us. I was so embarrassed. I thought this church can't even feed 15 preachers with spaghetti and salad and garlic bread and coffee. And there was a little piece of cake. I forgot that. But anyway, we went back in for the second session, and they said, "Now, Brother Bird, during this session we have question and answer. And this is when we question the speaker as to his subject. You would have been embarrassed by some of the questions, such as, one, this man supposedly believes sovereign grace. He said, I'm teaching through Jewish history in my church. And I don't see how I can bring Christ into that. I'm telling the truth. And I said, I don't know how you can't. What? You know, you feel like, I said, what kind of meeting is it? I walked in the wrong building. God have mercy. But He won't. They keep that attitude. That, unless God changes somebody's thinking. Hold your place here. I'm going to show you another passage. Luke 24. I might as well show you this one. Luke chapter 24. Look at verse 25. And he said unto them, these disciples that he met on the road to Emmaus, Luke 24, 25. Then he said unto them, O fools and slow of heart, to believe all that the prophets have spoken. Ought not Christ to have suffered these things and to enter into His glory? And beginning at Moses and all the prophets, all of them, not just some of them, not just isolated portions, but all of them, all the scriptures, the things concerning himself. And at that time, they didn't have the New Testament scriptures. All they had was the Old Testament. Now you listen up. If you can't find your gospel in the Old Testament, you don't have God's gospel. And if it were possible that somebody could rip out the New Testament and take it away from us, we still worship God and preach the gospel from the Old Testament. Is that right? That's exactly right. Look down here at verse 44. Same chapter, and he said unto them, "These are the words which I spake unto you while I was yet with you, that all things must be fulfilled which were written in the law of Moses and in the prophets." Don preached to us last night the law of Moses. Did you hear that? "And in the prophets and in the Psalms concerning me." Here's what's necessary. Right here. "Then opened he their understanding." That's what's got to happen. Oh, we got closed minds for this. Oh, that God would open them up. And then we'll understand the Scriptures. "And he said unto them, thus it is written, and thus it behooved Christ to suffer and to rise from the dead the third day." This is from the Scripture. From the Scripture. Well, let's go back here in the Scripture. Exodus chapter 12. Now, my friends, this is a book about the Son of God. This is a book about the Lamb of God. Begins with him, it ends with him. It starts off by telling us that he's all in creation, and it ends up by telling us he's all in the new creation. And all the way through, it's about him. He's the Lamb of God. That's a title peculiar to him. That's a special title for him. What do we know about this Lamb? Give you these five things in introduction. You can look these up later, and you've heard them before. Number one, he was the appointed Lamb. Did not Peter say, "You're redeemed with the precious blood of Christ, as of a Lamb without blemish and without spot, who verily was foreordained before the foundation of the world, but was manifested in these last times for you?" He's the appointed Lamb. God picked him out. God gave him a mission. God anointed him. God offered him as a sacrifice. God's justice slew him. God's justice exacted from him the full payment price for the redemption of his people. He's the appointed Lamb. And I'll tell you something else. He was the predicted Lamb. Do you remember when Abraham took Isaac up on the mountain to offer him as a sacrifice to God per God's commandment? Isaac was listening when his daddy was talking to the servants. Then Abraham told his servants, he said, "Abide ye here, and I and the lad will go yonder and we'll worship. We're going to work. We're going to have a worship service." So they're going up the mount. Isaac gets to thinking about that. He said, "Dad?" Abraham said, "Yes, my son." "Dad, behold the fire and the wood. But where is the lamb for burnt offering?" He said we were going to worship. Dad, we can't worship without a lamb. Did you hear him? You can't worship God without the lamb. You can't worship God without the lamb. What did the preacher preach on this morning? Well, he said a lot of good things. Did he preach on the lamb? Did he exalt the lamb? Did he proclaim the lamb? Well, he talked about Christian service. Well, you didn't have a worship time then, did you? Because you can't worship without the lamb, Carl. Isaac knew that. He's smarter than a whole lot of preachers. Isaac was. Where's the lamb? Have you ever been to hear a preacher and you went out the door thinking to yourself, where's the lamb? Well, if you did, don't go hear him again. You hear a man the first time, you hear a man one time and he don't preach about the lamb, that's his fault. But now if you're fool enough to go hear him again, I believe that's your fault. Don't you agree? I believe that's your fault. Where's the lamb? And Abraham said, my son, God will provide himself a lamb for a burnt offering. And you know what? That satisfied Isaac. Because it says, so they went both of them together. That's satisfied. God will provide. And he'll provide himself. And I'll tell you, God will accept what he provides. Every time. Every time. He was the appointed lamb. He was the predicted lamb. And he was the lamb identified. John the Baptist. He told us who the lamb was. He identified. We're not in the dark on this. We know. We know exactly who the Lamb of God is. John stand down there, we're baptizing some folks, and here come the figure of a man walking down by the riverside, and he said to those fellows as well, said, behold, the Lamb of God that taketh away the sin of the world. And the next day, he is with two disciples, and lo and behold, he wasn't preaching the same sermon all over again. Same sermon. Behold the Lamb of God. And you know what those two disciples did? They left him, went and followed Jesus. That's what it said. And the two disciples which heard him speak, followed Jesus. You think that made John mad? You think John said, man, I done lost two more followers. My ranks are getting thin. Oh. He said, brethren, goodbye. Follow him. I'm going to preach somebody else. I'll find somebody else that will listen to me and I'll tell them the same thing I told you. Behold the Lamb of God. And I pray to God they'll follow him too. See, that's what we pray. Here we are. We've been preaching since Monday night. What we pray is by the grace of God, by the power of God, you'll behold the Lamb of God. Behold him. Because if God ever gives you eyes to see him, oh my, you'll never get over that. You'll never get over that. I tell you, this Lamb was appointed in old eternity. He's predicted in the Old Testament. He is identified by John. This Lamb was crucified. Says in Revelation 13, he is a lamb slain from the foundation of the world. He was oppressed, he was afflicted, yet he opened not his mouth, the prophet said. He is brought as a what? Lamb to the slaughter. And as a sheep before her shearers, so he opened not his mouth. Oh, the willingness and readiness of God's Lamb be sacrificed in the room and in the stead of his people. He went to the cross without any reservation, without any reluctance. He went as willingly to be sacrificed as a lamb goes to the slaughterhouse. And he was as silent under his sufferings as a sheep while in the hands of its shearer. He was willing to be stripped of all that he had as a shorn lamb to be slaughtered and sacrificed as the lamb to satisfy justice, to put away sin, and to save his people. That's why he came. His name's Jesus. He'll save his people from their sins. And then I'll tell you what, this lamb has been glorified. You read the book of Revelation. Get over about chapter 5. Listen to them praising the lamb that was slain. If I counted correctly, somewhere around 28 or 29 times, the lamb is mentioned in the book of Revelation. Isn't it amazing? You listen to these so-called prophecy majors, and they talk about Antichrist out of Revelation. They talk about the beast out of Revelation. They talk about this out of Revelation, that out of Revelation, and they miss the lamb. And the whole book's the revelation of the Lamb, the revelation of the Lord Jesus Christ. That's what the whole book of Revelation is about. They miss all that. The Lamb. Well, before us this evening is the Lamb typified. Typified. Let me just read this. Exodus 12:21. Then Moses called for all the elders of Israel. All right, you dads, you fathers, heads of families, draw near. Y'all gather in now. I want to talk to you. God told me to tell you something. Draw out and take you a lamb according to your families and kill the Passover. Ye shall take a bunch of hyssop. I said a while ago, remember that Jewish tradition, 3 sprigs. Maybe that's Father, Son, Holy Spirit. I don't know. Take this hyssop, a bunch of hyssop, dip it in the blood that's in the basin, strike the lintel and the 2 side posts with the blood that's in the basin. And none of you shall go out at the door of his house into the morning. For the Lord will pass through to smite the Egyptians. And when he seeth the blood, when he seeth the blood upon the lintel and on the 2 side posts, the Lord will pass over the door and will not suffer or allow or permit the destroyer to come in unto your houses to smite you. And ye shall observe this thing for an ordinance to thee and to thy sons forever. And it shall come to pass, when ye be come to the land which the Lord will give you, according as he hath promised, that ye shall keep this service. And it shall come to pass when your children shall say unto you, Dad, what mean ye by this service? Why are you doing this? What does all this mean? That ye shall say, it's the sacrifice of the Lord's Passover, who passed over the houses of the children of Israel in Egypt when he smote the Egyptians and delivered our houses. And you know what the people did? They bowed their head and worshiped the God of salvation. Worship the God of salvation. Let me take just a few more minutes. Let me show you 4 things about the blood of sprinkling. I'll be brief. Number 1, the blood. The blood was the mark of distinction. It was a mark of distinction. If you had been living back then, and you happened to wander through the streets of Egypt that night, before the destroyer came through, you could have determined who the Israelites were and who the Egyptians were by one conspicuous sign. No need to go to the window and listen. Are they speaking Egyptian in there? Or are they speaking Hebrew? No need to do that. No need to peep in and see how they're dressed. No need to do that. Look for one thing. The mark of the blood. The mark of the blood. And that is still the distinction between God's true Israel and the rest. That's still the distinction. That's the point of difference right there. The blood. Number two. I told you I'd be brief. Number two. That's a lot to chew on right there, isn't it? Mark of distinction. Number two. The blood was the mark of salvation. I want you to look at that verse 23 again. For the Lord will pass through to smite the Egyptians. And when he seeth the blood upon the lintel and on the two side posts, listen to it now. The Lord will pass over the door and will not allow the destroyer to come in and right on into your house and smite you. He won't do that. The Lord will pass over the door. I looked up that expression, pass over. And Mr. Strong says that one of the meanings of that is to lean or leap against. To lean or leap against. The Lord saw the blood. And because of the blood, he stood guard at the door. Death's not coming in that house. Oh, sir. That's what it says. He didn't allow the destroyer to come in that house. You're not coming in here. You go on down the road. You go down the road. You go to that house that's not marked, but he's down there too, though. Because he's everywhere. He's everywhere. He's at every house marked by blood. Every house. Well, why wouldn't he allow the destroyer to come in? Because the lamb had been slain. Because the blood had been sprinkled. And therefore the people were secure. He is the protector of his people. He's the guardian of his people. You see, God protected the occupants of that house because he already got death at that house. Yeah, he already got death there. It cannot be that the lamb would die and then the firstborn in that house die too, and the Lord steps in front of the door and says, death, you're not coming in here. Because I'm satisfied. I'm satisfied. And that's why, children of God, death's not coming to us. Because God's satisfied. Now, his lamb's already died. And twice payment, God will not demand. First at my bleeding shirt, his hand, and then again at mine. No way. Christ, the Lamb of God, has made satisfaction to divine justice, and God Himself is our protector, our Savior, and our guardian. Who shall lay anything to the charge of God's elect? It's God that justified. God satisfied His own requirements in the bloody death of His Son. Christ put away our sins. There's nothing to condemn us for. There's no condemnation where there's no sin. He took our sin away. He took our sin and gave us His righteousness. Who can condemn us then? It's God that justified. Who is He that condemneth? It's Christ that died, yea, rather that is risen again, who's even at the right hand of God maketh intercession for us. So there was no way that the firstborn could perish in a house where the Lamb had died as their substitute. And there's no way redeemed sinners can die. No way redeemed sinners can perish. That is impossible. Impossible. The blood has been shed. The Spirit of grace has sprinkled us with that blood. And brethren, we are safe. Safe, safe, safe in Jesus. You ever given blood? Well, I got a confession to make. Not that you can absolve me or anything, but I do have a confession to make. I just only recently gave blood, first time in my life. I hate needles. And I just envisioned them needles being just sucking the blood right out of you. But I gave blood. It's always hard for them to find my veins when I go for blood work, you know, anything like that. And I just dreaded it. Just dreaded it. But I did. I went and gave blood. Because it's a gift of life. That's what the Red Cross says, Todd. It's a gift of life. And I'm ashamed that I waited so long to give blood. And really, it ain't so bad, and you get juice and cookies out of it. It's really not bad. And they hit that vein the first time, and she said, squeeze that little rubber whatever ball or whatever it was, you know, and she said, oh, we're flowing good. And I said, phew, I'm glad. I just squeezed as hard as I could, you know, pump that blood out of it. The gift of life. But you know, I have no way of knowing who got my blood. The blood that I gave willingly. Nobody forced me to give it. Nobody held a gun. I did it voluntarily. I gave my blood, the gift of life. But Gary Shepherd, there's a possibility that whoever got my blood, maybe there'd been a car wreck, and they got my blood and they died anyway. That's a possibility. As wasted, wasn't it? Could have been. Could have been wasted. The Son of God gave willingly and freely the gift of life. Is there any possibility that those for whom that blood was given, that they're going to die anyway? Why, it'd be blasphemous to say that, wouldn't it? Because that's what it is. It's blasphemy to say that He shed His blood. But, you know, it may or may not give you life. It just all depends whether you activate it by your faith. It was really the gift of life. Really. Here's the third thing. The blood was applied as conspicuously as possible. When Moses gave the instruction, the Lord said, when I see blood, I'll pass over you. I'll bet you, Darrell, that when the man went out there and dipped that hyssop, I bet he didn't just go, phew. Man, I bet him. Don't you think? Whoa. Don't you think so? Just as The Lord not going to miss this when he passes through. No. Oh, I tell you. Conspicuous. We hold the blood up, don't we? We preach Christ crucified. I'm determined not to know anything among you save Jesus Christ and Him crucified. That's pretty conspicuous. Oh, may this church house always have the blood mark. Because if you take the blood out of here, you rip the heart out of it. Blood maketh atonement for the soul. Without the shedding of blood, there's no remission. Had a man visit our church, he and his wife, not too long ago. He came back a little later in the week. Said he wanted to talk to me a little bit. He said, the church I go to, he said, took blood out of all the songbooks. Even took the word Father out of the hymns. They want to be politically correct. I said, well, why do you keep going there? That's a good question. And he didn't give a good answer. Well, yeah, ain't no good answer. Unless you say, well, I hate the truth and I want to hear error. I tell you, we'll preach of the blood, we'll sing of the blood, we'll praise the Lamb for sinners slain. Oh, hear God say, when I see the blood, I'll pass over you. When He seeth the blood, He looks on His Son. Isn't it interesting? He looks the same one we look to. The Father's focused on the Son, and I'm looking at the Son. Behold the Lamb of God, and I'm beholding Him. However, it is not my look of the sprinkled blood that's the basis of salvation. It's God's sight of it. He said, when I see the blood, and when our eye of faith is dim, we're just as safe as when the eye of faith is keen. We're just as safe. Maybe that fateful night, cries going out throughout Egypt, the blood-curdling screams of moms and dads, young one died. Maybe that night, some inside those doors, those houses marked with the bloody door on the outside. Maybe some of them fearful. Did you hear that? Did you hear that scream? You reckon we're safe? Maybe sitting over in a rocking chair is Grandma. He's just a rock. Maybe doing their knitting. She's getting ready to go. She said, don't worry. We're safe. God said so. Let me ask you a question. Was she any more safe than that one who was trembling? Was that one who was trembling any less safe than Grandma? Was Mr. Strong Faith safer than Mr. Weak Faith? No. No. Because it's dependent upon God's sin of law. My friends, when disease or old age dims the eye of faith, and I mentioned my dear mother the other night, and with your kind indulgence, I'll mention her again. She had Alzheimer's. She couldn't remember my name and couldn't remember the Lord's name and couldn't see the blood but she's in glory. Because God said, when I see the blood, I'll pass over you. And when you get Alzheimer's, or you have a stroke, you get hardening of the arteries, and the mind is gone, bless the name of God. He's our protector. He's our guardian. He's our Savior forever. And the last thing is this. The blood was to be always remembered. That's what he said in verse 24. Ye shall observe this thing for naught. Don't you forget this now. That's what he said. Don't you forget this. You know what they sing about in glory? Worthy is the Lamb that was slain. Salvation unto our God who sits upon the throne and unto the Lamb. Unto Him that loved us and washed us from our sins in His own blood. Made us kings and priests unto God and His Father. To Him be glory and dominion forever and ever. Amen. Let me ask you a question. And I want everybody to answer. You'll know what the answer is when I ask the question. What can wash away my sin? Nothing but the blood of Jesus. What can make me whole again? Nothing but the blood of Jesus. Oh, precious is the flow that makes me white as snow. No other fount I know, nothing but the blood of Jesus. Amen. God bless you.